And it's for nothing.
For nothing, that's right.
Because, again, you can't be united with him unless you die. Go ahead.
And this was our lesson, the ladies' class Friday.
Okay.
Let me just give you this little piece that I found. Jesus offered wounds and death, and valiant souls accepted the challenge. Perhaps the church must relearn this strategy in truth. We've made discipleship so easy that it's not worth pursuing. It has no cutting edge. But true discipleship is at a cost of discipline and hardship and death.
Yeah.
How about that?
I agree wholeheartedly. That's what we're saying. You know, we've just watered it down so much mm-hmm. into this checklist of things that we need to do to be good Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But for many people, the whole concept of taking up our cross is this idea of, I've got this burden that I'm bearing right now, this difficulty in my life that I have to get through. See? And we don't understand that that's not what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because the loop has to be completed. Okay? Remember the diagram that he had up there. In order for us to be united with Christ, we have to join him in death. The only way for that to happen.
But we still have to be good Christians.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm not saying those things are not important.
No.
What I'm saying is those things are not enough.
Right.
And there's too many Christians who are, that's enough. You see, again, the checklist. I've done what I need to do. Again, go back to the rich young ruler. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Remember what Jesus first, his response to him was what? Keep the commandments. And then what does he say? Which ones? You know, which ones? As if some of them are optional, right? Okay? And isn't that what we do? What's the minimum I need to do in order to go to heaven, in order to be a good Christian so I can go to heaven? And you know, I've seen this so many times. We talk about people that have died, and even those that we know are not living their life for Christ, and we talk about them as, well, yeah, I know they're in heaven because why?
They were
a good person. He was a good man. She was a good woman. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to get you here in just a second. Doesn't that, when we're saying somebody gets to go to heaven because they were good, doesn't that just completely negate everything that we've been seeing here? If that's possible, why did God have to become human and come here and die? If we could go to heaven because we're good. And the answer to that is, can't. Carmen? Yeah.
Because that was our duty.
I've only done my duty,
right.
Well, there are a lot of people that don't feel they need church because all we have to do is be good.
Be good, yeah.
And we've changed that word good, the devil has come up with a unique way of just changing the meaning of words like the killing and murdering of babies to abortion. Looting stores now is just, if you shoplift up to so many dollars, you're not stealing anymore.
Right.
We watered down sin so much by changing the words of it.
Yeah.
Living different lifestyles.
Yeah.
And then you come up with just all kinds
of sin. Yeah. Because again, we don't appreciate how bad sin really is. You see? Right?
We grew up in a country that Christianity was popular, that it was churches everywhere, and it was popular. We're now getting in the direction where it's not as popular anymore. And you see what's happening to the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when it gets harder, and God wants to see how we're going to stand for him, and then you see so many that chooses not to follow. It's too difficult.
Right.
And this is not... nowhere near what the first century church was.
Oh yeah, we haven't begun to scratch the surface on that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you, okay, say today? What would be a good answer for? I'm sure he's in heaven because he was such a. Finish that. What can we say today? Because Christ lived in him. Because Christ is the only way for him to. What's a good answer now? I know because we know he's not just a good man and he didn't deserve heaven. But what can we say in response?
Well, I think it depends some, and we have to be really careful that I'm not pronouncing judgment on this person. I'm leaving that up to God.
Right.
Okay,
but a hopeful
first of all,
answer.
All right. But what I tell people when they say that is, but the way that you need to understand, heaven is not filled full of good people. It's filled full of saved people, and there's a difference between those two.
Okay.
Okay. You know, the atheists spout all the time about, you know, you don't have to be, you know, believe in God in order to be a good moral person. Well, that's true. I agree with that statement. But that being a good moral person isn't going to get you into heaven. It's not going to get you saved, you see.
Thank you.
All right?
You're right, Brother. So, I start that conversation with, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in.
Right,
yeah. But this is what it is.
Yeah, it's not my place to judge people, yep. But... I only tell you what the Bible says, and you know, the heaven is for those who have admitted that they're not good, you see, and have asked God to save them. All right, so that's the way. Yes.
Think about being a job description. When you have a job, they give you a job description,
right.
What you're supposed to do, and I think about that with Christ. He has given us a job description, and we have to go by that in order to be saved and get to heaven.
Yes.
Because people think everybody that died goes to heaven.
Right. Because they're good people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So take your talent and run with it.
Yeah. You know, again, you know, the thing we need to help people understand about that, Kathy, is that when I say that this person is going to heaven because they were good, that's basically saying they earned their salvation by their deeds. And so what do we need Jesus for?
Right, right.
And that's what I challenge people with on that.
I agree.
Okay? That's basically salvation by my good works.
That's right.
And nobody can do that.
I just thought maybe you had an answer real quick to put
That's how I generally answer the question.
Okay, yeah. I like what you said.
Brian, did you have your hand up a moment ago? Okay, I thought you did. Okay. All right. Anybody have anything else on any of this so far? Okay. So the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Right?
Amen.
Okay. So, in order for us, again, to be united with God, separated from death, because that's where we are in sin, we're united in sin. In order for us to be separated from death and united to God, okay, we have to be crucified. Okay? We have to be crucified. That's the only way for us to be saved. Otherwise, God lied to Christ when he made him go through the crucifixion that wasn't otherwise necessary. There simply was no other way. Okay? On your question sheet, this is the back sheet that you have. A couple of these questions, we've got about 5 minutes here. And there's a couple of them that I want to spend some time on. The others, as we've done, we have more than enough questions for that we have time for. So I encourage you to go and study these as I have each time. All right, and look at these questions. If you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down from the top there, the cross is humiliating. All right. Even at times to Christians. So how do we encourage believers? All right? Understand, we're not talking about unbelievers. We're talking about church people here, okay? How do we encourage believers to live in the shadow of the cross? To die in order to live? Any thoughts on that? How do we encourage church people? Okay, study with them. But wait a minute, they already know what the Bible says about how to be saved.
They should.
Okay.
Sometimes
I would suggest to you most of them do. Okay, but what's the problem?
They're not living it.
Okay, they're not living it.
Not to fear death.
Okay.
For standing up for Him in all situations.
Okay. Brian?
You know, you just can't stop at the cross.
Okay.
Because if Christ was just dying to save the whole world, that would have been the end of the world right then and there. He would have saved them.
Yeah.
It's the resurrection. And that we have that same ability to be resurrected in Christ.
Okay.
And that's where we need there is a death that goes with it, but there's such a glorious victory afterwards that we can defeat death. And that's one of the things that I think we struggle as human beings, the physical part of death. People don't like to get to that point in their life where they face death. That's one of the scariest moments in their life.
Okay.
But through Christ, we have nothing to fear. We overcome death. And that's not offered anywhere else, any other way. That's
okay.
The only way because of what Christ has done.
Okay. Annette?
I think a lot of examples of dying to self is like in self-sacrifice with service. Service to others. And by showing that, I think. And a lot of times that's hard because wouldn't you rather be doing something else, perhaps? A lot of times service and serving can be inconvenient to us in our lifestyle. So I think a lot of the best ways of dying to self is shown in our sacrifice as far as serving.
Okay. Go ahead, Wes.
I just wanted to add that my idea, my thought is the fact that as we've been just talking about, people in general don't want to, they don't want to suffer. They don't want to hurt. And you don't mind being a Christian as long as it don't hurt.
Exactly.
But when you know that what the cross represents death, and as Brian was saying, people fear death, because in the back of their mind they believe, maybe I didn't live up to the standard that I'm going to make it, which that's not the point anyway, because regardless of how you live, it's based on how you live, but that's not all that's going to count. The only way we can encourage people is to let them know what the outcome is.
Okay.
And the same way as what people do when they take a chance on a lottery or they take a chance on anything, they know they're looking at what they stand to gain. And that's why they were willing to go through whatever it takes to go through to get it, whether it's about one ticket or 100 tickets, whether it's you go to work because you know you're going to get paid at the end of the week, regardless of how bad it is that during the week or how hard it is or how rough that day is, you don't just quit and say, hey, that's it, I quit, I'm not going to work anymore, because you're looking at what the payoff is going to be. So the only way we can encourage or to continue to encourage people to realize the shadow of the cross and what you're going to get is what the outcome is.
Right.
It's worth it in the end. Now, we can't paint a picture and tell them exactly what you're going to get when you get to heaven, because we only have an illusion as to what we can understand.
Right.
But to those that the only way you're going to see Christ and get a reward is to get to heaven, and the only way you're going to do that is to die on the cross.
Okay.
So
and
we have
live in the shadow of the cross.
Right. We have to get them to understand what is on the other side. What you stand to gain outweighs far more than what you're going to ever go through.
Right. Right. And you know, Amy, what you brought up about teaching people, we do need to do that. But but again, I think when we're talking about church people, most of the church people know what the Bible has to say about what I need to do to be saved. The problem is getting people to live that in their lives on a daily basis. Okay? And you know, I'll just close with this. You know, that's the reason why the style of preaching that I do is what it is. I challenge you with applying God's word to our lives on a daily basis. Okay? How do we live this in our daily lives? We claim we believe it, okay, but how do we live it? And that's what we really need to be focusing. And Amy, that's what we need to be teaching one another and helping one another to do, to say, okay, in my daily life, this is what I need to be doing. This is how I need to be living. Carmen, finish us up.
What your mind can comprehend what Christ did. I mean, what he was speaking of in the video just kind of took it to a different level.
Right.
But if you're thankful and you recognize that all that Christ did, he didn't die on the cross for us to live just a life of, you know, self-pleasure.
Right.
It has to be a life of sacrifice. We have to give up something. We have to recognize that he died so that we could live. And that's a blessing.
Yes. It's, that's the cross. Take up your cross. One note, real quickly, this is just, you know, again, recognizing that I don't necessarily agree with everything that Shane says in here. It's not a huge thing, but he talks about the seven different signs. There's actually another one that he doesn't include in that. And so the whole part he talks about, you know, the 7 days of creation and all of that kind of thing. Because he left out the miracle, the sign of Jesus walking on the water. Okay? So just thought I'd throw that out to you. It's not a huge, doesn't change the main things that he was talking about here, but that's just one of those notes that we listen to what people are saying. Remember I told you we started out, you know, we got to spit out the bones and we eat the meat. Okay? Thank you all very much.